to the paint off to DeSumo. He left that short. Rebounded by LeVert. Here's Mitchell. He just blew right past Levine. Mitchell to the basket. Wow. Puts it up and in.
Donovan Mitchell show.
What a night.
Wow. Epic.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
You're also looking for, like a lot of us card collectors are looking for, well, what players are going to take the next step to superstardom? Like, you've got a Brandon Ingram card coming out that, you know.
Oh, I released Brandon. Design.
There you go.
I dumped Brandon last year. Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think he's done any Pelicans cards. I don't think he signs cards. And again, that's gotcha. One of the reasons why I sign up some of the guys. Like, Khabib doesn't, like, UFC. The mixed martial arts, he doesn't really do on cards. I got him to do on card. Brandon Ingram, I don't think he signed any Pelicans cards still, so that was one of the reasons I wanted to get him. And obviously former Laker player, so but yeah, I don't know, in terms of card collecting, well, if he's got no Pelicans autos, it's kind of hard to collect them, aren't they? I guess, yeah. People can go back to the Laker rookies, but I don't know. It's interesting. What the next rookie that'll? You're saying the next young player that'll explode? Man, I don't know. I have no idea. That's a tough question.
We're always talking about it in our Hoops and Cards Discord and other conversations with people that, you know, and Tyrese Maxey, Desmond Bane, uh-huh. Ja Morant. Obviously, Ja is Ja.
Yeah. For me, I feel like Bane's awesome, but it's always hard for, like, it feels like only one player per team gets hobby love. And I feel like if you're the second guy, no matter what, like even Maxey behind Embiid, it's difficult. I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like the New York Knicks are a massive market. Like, I don't know. Maybe Brunson. I don't know. Someone's got to be collectible there one day.
And do you look at Oklahoma City at all? Do you look at SGA?
Oh, SGA's a freak. Yeah, he's insane. What he's doing. But I guess OKC is a pretty small market, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone's just waiting for Wemby, aren't they? Like,
yeah,
right. You know,
yeah. And people love LaMelo Ball. Like, they love Cade Cunningham, but these guys haven't been able to stay super healthy, you know, and they're on teams that I wonder about both those teams if they wind up with Wemby.
Ooh.
Right. LaMelo and Victor. Jeez, Cade and Victor.
That's must watch TV. I mean, that's probably ideally what the NBA probably want. Maybe to pair up these I think it'd be amazing. But yeah, I'm just all waiting on Wemby. Like, you know, I'm amazed seeing him play. Like, I know he's not playing against NBA talent, but like, just what he's doing on the court is insane. He's high. It's freaking it's insane. And he's getting a lot of love from NBA players. Like, they're not knocking him. And like, they're just like, yeah, it's like, I think someone said, like, was it KD or something said, like, oh, once he gets in the league, it's over. Like, you know,
yeah. It's surreal watching him and what he can do at that size and at that level of skill. I think for the market, I mean, I'm hoping the basketball card market gets a Zion-like bump, maybe bigger because he's bigger.
He's got to be bigger than Zion. He has to be. I know he's not coming from like college, like the NCAA college basketball, so he doesn't really have that, the eyes on him like Zion did. But I think globally, like, I guess, like, a lot of Americans don't think globally a lot. But like, globally, Wemby's like, everyone's gonna follow this guy. Like, and I don't know, the only other thing, and I guess it's kind of a safe thing, but Banchero is looking super nice.
Yeah.
What he's doing, at his age, the numbers he's getting is insane. I know Orlando's been an awful team for a long time, but I mean, maybe that's a guy to collect. Like, Orlando haven't had a collectible player in a long time. They've blown a lot of their draft picks. They've had high picks, but none of them, I don't think any of them have really become collectible, really. Like, a lot of their high lottery picks haven't been collectible players.
Right. Mo Bamba, Franz Wagner,
Yeah.
I mean, some of them have good games.
Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cole Anthony.
Chuma Okiki or KK.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Gordon, even. I mean, they've had a bunch of high peaks. It just didn't work out. But yeah, I mean, Banchero looks awesome. I mean, what he's doing at his age, the numbers, unreal. I mean, it's hard. How could he be playing any better? I mean, everyone thought Orlando were crazy for picking him number one. Like, they were like, right. What the hell? He was meant to be the third guy.
Yeah, pick Chet Holmgren or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, I think it's all worked out so far. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll be looking at him and Wemby. Like you were saying, though, like, it might have a Zion type of effect. I think it's going to be an exciting time for cards that season because everyone's just going to want to be chasing Wembys, and it's just going to make for good like content of people doing breaks, and you know, I mean, like Wemby RPAs, like that's just going to be insane.
That's just a few months down the road, right? I mean, the draft's probably late June, and you've got Wemby and Scoot Henderson, and
good call. He would probably be a number one pick in most years as well. Mm-hmm. What is what they're saying? He took the G League route. Which is interesting. And he's playing pretty good in the G League. I think that draft class is, I think we've probably had a few years since we've had like a good draft class. The Zion class would be the last one. So this might be the one that 2023 class might be the one that everyone kind of chases for and goes after. And I think that hopefully that brings a lot of, you know, it might bring a lot of new people in, especially from France. Might bring a lot of international people in. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know that's so true.
Yeah, like when Ben Simmons got drafted, you know, brought a hell of a lot of Australians into trading cards when he went number one, and they've just stuck around since, and they've chosen to collect other players now.
Right. Right. Well, and so much of the market, I don't know if this rings true globally, but so much of the card market, as I've experienced it, rises on extended hype and anticipation of what a guy is going to do or what a guy is going to bring to the league, and whether he delivers or not. Like there is such an uptick. There's such a, you know what I'm saying? Like,
For me, I always like, I always find it wild. I guess like when I'm trying to like do deals with athletes, trying to get the, like, they know their value, like whoever represents it, they know their value, like with autos and everything. And it's funny. It's like a lot of the young guys, like even like LaMelo Ball, like everything's already priced at, they're like a 3-time NBA champion, 2-time MVP. And it's kind of like Luka's been priced at, he's going to be he's going to win all this stuff. So for me, in my opinion, I could be completely wrong. Like, I'm not the person to be asking about like pricing and everything. But for me, it's like, because he's already priced at that, even if he wins a championship MVP, things won't even go up because it's already priced at him doing it.
Yeah.
And that's just my opinion. And I think the same, like, it wasn't like Giannis. Giannis cards, you could literally buy for nothing, like, because no one thought anything of him. But then when he became an MVP, everyone's like we back-to-back MVP, he went, you know, everyone had priced his cards at like, okay, this guy's sick now, he's great. But then I don't even think like when he won a championship, there wasn't a massive uptick, because at that time people were pricing at him going to win. Like, I don't know. And I could be wrong and there might be different scenarios, but for me, I mean, the best outcome is there is like a Giannis type person where, you know, you pick up this third, I think he was 13th pick, or I don't know, I could be wrong, around about that. You pick up this guy that's like unknown and then like no one thinks of him and then he becomes great. But these guys that are young, everyone's just already factored in, okay, you know, this guy's going to do this. And for me, I always like when I talk to people, I'll be like, okay, was like Tracy McGrady a good NBA player? And everyone would be like, oh yeah, he was like really, really good. But I was like, yeah, but his cards are worth like nothing.
Right.
But he was amazing. Is LaMelo Ball going to be better than Tracy McGrady? Oh, probably not. But then so his cards are worth like freaking 20 times more. So kind of, I just throw those kind of hypothetical, those kind of scenarios at people. And it kind of makes you think, but you know, people like buying cards and watching players across their careers. Like, I get it. It's fun to invest into a player that's currently playing rather than a retired player. But I don't know. I think there's just a, I don't know who sets it, but I feel like something is like, when obviously the young players, it's already capped that they're going to do this. And if they don't do it, the market, the value on their stuff's going to go down. And even if they do achieve it, well, then the values don't go up. They have to like succeed it. So for guys like Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Zion, it's going to be really hard for them to get to those, that next level of pricing, because they're going to have to succeed what people have already put into that. You know, I don't know. Do you have an opinion? Or
I do. We've been trying to focus on, and I have personally, as I think about these as investments, like what's a guy, who are the players, what are the cards that have a new achievement out in front of them? Like what's a new award or a new level of the playoffs or something new that hasn't already been priced in or that wasn't expected? Like a guy like Giannis, he had steps toward being a two-time MVP, but nobody saw that from the beginning, even though he was a first round, like middle of the first round pick. By the way, Cavaliers, I think that same year, the Cavs picked Anthony Bennett first overall.
Oh, and number one.
Wait a minute, the best player of his era, you know, that of that year's Giannis. So right, yeah, dude. Right. But so looking at who are the players that, hey, they're going to get more playing time or they're going to get more opportunities. And when they have opportunities, they score like crazy or they win. And so it's starting to look for players like that in an environment where they've done it before, just at lower levels. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And saying there's a chance that they could go up. But the guys that have already, you're absolutely right. I agree with you about LaMelo and Zion and even Cade. Like when you're the number one pick.
Yeah.
And you're the guy everybody's looking to rip out of that hobby box or that mega box. Like the hobby has already priced beyond what they could possibly achieve. And I got back into this 3 years ago, Tyson, to collect LeBron because I'm a Cavs fan. I'm from Akron. You know, we see the impact he's had on our community. I've stayed a LeBron fan going to, you know, now that he's on the Lakers. But I got back into it because I thought, well, hey, at least, number one, I'll enjoy it because he's LeBron and I love following him. But number two, his cards could retain their value at the least and long-term increase because he's legacy, LeBron. He's adding to it. But anyway, I'm hoping because you're a Laker fan that you also, you know, are rooting for him, obviously, and hoping they can do it again. If Anthony Davis would stay healthy.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. I've wanted them to blow up this team for a long time. I didn't like it as a Lakers fan, them even getting Anthony Davis. I understood it, but I was really behind the young guys. Cause I guess like, you know, was watching through, you started what, like you had 3-4 years of, you know, we got rid of Jordan Clarkson, Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell,
Ingram,
Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Larry Nance, Zubac. Like, I mean, if that is literally just their team now, they're a freaking good team. Like,
yeah,
I mean, you've had all you've had all stars. I think two of them have been all stars. They've been two of them won most improved player. Anyway, they won a championship. So like they're bloody lucky they won that championship, because I think Laker fans would not be as forgiving as they are if they hadn't won that. And for me, I still look back and go, how the hell did they win that championship?
Right.
Anthony Davis somehow fell to the ground, like went to the locker room at literally every single half in every single game during the bubble.
It's funny and it's not funny at the same time.
I know. Yeah. And I don't know. They survived. He must have played through pain. He must have went through. They ended up winning it all. I can't believe they did, because now ever since, like, they've just been an absolute mess, and like they can't keep everyone on the court. And it's, I don't know. And then you always get those glimmer of hope, you know, when LeBron was out earlier this season, Anthony Davis started bowling. Like, he was playing career best form. He was 50 point games. He was a walking 30-20 or 20, 20-20 at some point. And then obviously what happens across every single portion of Anthony Davis's career when he starts playing well, then come the injuries. And I mean, yeah, they're not going to go anywhere unless Anthony Davis is playing and healthy. And I mean, if they're all healthy, no one's going to want to face him. Like, no one wants to face healthy, like a LeBron, Anthony Davis. No one's going to want to face him. Like, you know, they were up when Anthony Davis was playing, they were up against the Phoenix Suns, like that one that went to the finals. They were up 2-1 against Phoenix Suns, and then Anthony Davis went down. I don't know. Injury is part of the game, but sadly, if I was running the team, I would be getting rid of Anthony Davis. And like, he's an amazing player when he's on the court, obviously. But I don't know what his trade value is like, but they've got no draft picks in the future. I'd be trying to get some assets now, try and get some healthy players. If you're stuck on LeBron, if the Lakers are going, we're not going to trade LeBron, we're keeping him, whatever. We'll try and get some guys that are on the court, you know, even if it's two guys that are, you know, two legit starters for Anthony Davis, it's going to help more than Anthony Davis just sitting on the bench all season injured. But
right.
I don't know. It's difficult. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, it's not as easy as just trading it. Like, yeah, I'm sure they go through it every day.
Well, and I'm happy for LeBron that he did get one championship there. Yeah. I'm happy for you and for Laker Nation or whatever. But
yeah, whatever.
You have to wonder if you just kept one or two of those guys, like to have a Kuzma right now and the way he's playing, or even Malik Monk, a guy that could just drain threes all day that LeBron ACP, could kick it out to. Yeah. Brilliant.
3-and-D. Like, don't even get me started.
And Julius Randle's averaging 30 a game over the last 12 games. Like, he's...
Yeah. Why are they... I don't know. I still... The one question they've never really answered, and I get all those players that they got Anthony Davis for. I understand why they traded all those players away. They got AD. They built a roster to win now around LeBron. I get it. What they have never explained, or no one has ever been able to explain, is they won a championship in 2020. They could have re-signed everyone.
Right. Yeah.
Won a championship, run it back. If it doesn't work, yeah, make the moves. But to get rid of Caruso, Rondo, KCP, Dwight.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And yeah, look at like Kyle Kuzma now. I mean, they weren't utilizing him properly anyway in his final year at the Lakers. Like, and everyone thought he was like, he's getting worse. It was like, no, he wasn't being utilized properly. He's potentially going to be an all-star this season in Washington. And yeah, I don't know. That 2021 season, they should have gone hard. They could have potentially gone back to back if they just, like, they were missing a guy like Caruso. Like, I know that might be funny, but like a 3-and-D guy. Totally. And now it's like, it's funny because if you look at the team, everyone's like, oh, they just need shooting. And it's like, yeah, they got, that's what happens when you get rid of Malik Monk, KCP, Kuzma, like basically everyone that could shoot the ball, they got rid of. Wesley Matthews, I think they got rid of him as well. Like, I don't know. It's funny. I don't know what they're doing over there.
Well, we had a similar ride in Cleveland with LeBron wanting a mega team, or what do you call it, a super team with Kevin Love. Well, we gave up Andrew Wiggins and a bunch of other stuff. And you've always wondered now, well, what if the Cavs had Wiggins and hadn't traded all those first round picks to add guys like Timothy Mozgov and Iman Shumpert, Kyle Korver? Like, we won a title, and I'm glad we did, because I was there and at the watch party. Just, it was awesome. Yeah. But you wonder, right? Second guess a little bit, but.
Well, yeah. And I think if you look at LeBron's career, he's done this everywhere he's gone. I mean, well, the team has whatever. Yeah. I LeBron would have some control with the moves, even though he says he doesn't. But they essentially go all in, and then when he leaves, they're kind of screwed. And it happened to Cleveland, kind of happened to Miami. It's going to happen to Lakers. Like, they go all in and they don't really think of the future. And like you're saying, they get a bunch of those like like mid-level exception vets when it's not really the wise decision to get. And they're just trying to win that specific season. But yeah, I don't know. For me, the most fortunate thing is now that I'm working with like a bunch of players, I kind of, not like I don't follow the Lakers anymore. I still follow them. I'd rather them win than lose. But I kind of like watch the guys I I've worked with now, because it's like, oh, I want to see them succeed. And so it's kind of a fun alternative. When the Lakers suck, it's like, oh, I can actually watch a Boston game and see Jason Tatum play well. Like, you know, it's just like a little side thing now. So
that's awesome. That's great. Do you have a favorite that you collect? Favorite player or players that you?
Oh, it'd have to be Kobe. Yeah. The Lakers thing growing up. I mean, yeah, he's my idol, my inspiration, everything. Yeah, Kobe definitely is basically the only one I collect stuff of. Now, when I was younger, I just used to collect any Laker player. Like, you know, I was mentioning I had Lamar Odom and Derek Fisher and whoever was just around for the Lakers for a while, I'd collect the cards of. But yeah, I guess getting older and stuff, it's just Kobe's my guy. Like, he's the only person I'll hang stuff up of. And so he's the player I collect. And that's kind of just what I've
I wish my kids could have seen him play. Yeah. I wish my kids could have seen Kobe play.
Oh yeah.
As a leader and Black Mamba, just, yeah.
Yeah. Mamba. I was very, very fortunate to be able to see him play. I guess, yeah, when looking back, you start to, you know, put those things in perspective. And yeah, he was a great role model. And, you know, just, you're able to take his philosophy and stuff outside of sport and apply it into your own craft and your own field. And I met him twice, and I know he gets a lot of shit for being a rude person. He was nothing, he was nothing but nice. I've never seen someone light up a room and be just so genuine to fans, where I've seen other athletes that you think are amazing and nice, and then not nice to fans, and then they're rude people. And so it's funny. It's like, you can't believe everything you read on the internet.
Right. It sounds like he made a definite encouragement or inspiration to you personally in what you do. So I think it's awesome.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. He was awesome.
Very cool. Well, Tyson, thank you so much for hanging out with us here at Hoops and Cards for a little bit. Again, so grateful for your love for the game, your love for basketball, NBA, basketball cards. And like I said, all of our listeners, I encourage you guys to check out at Tyson Beck. Or Tyson, how can we find your latest card releases? Is there, you have a best first step?
Instagram's good. And I got a link in my bio that just goes to the site. You can sign up to the mailing list there. And that's probably the best thing. I'm definitely making a commitment to share more on Instagram this year. I've been pretty horrible in the last few years. It's just something that gets away from me.
You've been busy. Yeah.
So definitely Instagram is going to be the best place, because I'm going to be sharing a lot of stuff and trying to keep that more active. And, I appreciate, the opportunity jumping on as well. Basketball and trading cards is like a perfect mix for me. So it's been great to chat to you, and really do appreciate the opportunity of jumping in and chopping it up with you and talking hoops and cards. It's nothing better than that.
Dude, I could talk NBA all day with you. And that's one of my favorite parts about just having a podcast, is getting to meet so many people from around the world, but also leaders like yourself you're investing your talents, your passions, your skills into helping the rest of us enjoy it even more. So thanks for your design, your art, your innovation, taking the risk a few years ago to make your own cards. I think that's awesome. And I just wish you nothing but success in the next steps. I hope for your sake, Tatum wins the championship, the Celtics take it, right? And that Brandon Ingram gets some MVP votes after he comes back. But thank you again for all you do, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Very kind of you.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Wizards. What kind of name is that anyway? For a basketball team? The Wizards? What are they? Like magicians in hoods?